We continue our series called Game Plan, and this series is really the foundation of it. It's had to do with conversations that I've had with many of you over the last few months, and I just felt it was kind of important for us to kind of just touch on what God's Word has to say about what His will looks like. How many of you consider yourself an Amazon shopper, Amazon.com shopper? Raise your hand if you've ever purchased something from Amazon.com. Raise it up high. Come on, let's see. If you've ever purchased something, there you go. How many of you would say that you're addicted to Amazon.com shopping? Any of you? Okay, yeah, all right, that's fine. You know, the other day, of all things, I was looking for a Post-it note dispenser for the office because mine broke, and besides God's words being inspired, Post-it notes on my desk are inspired, all right? I use them that much. So I'm trying to find it. So I just click on Post-it note dispensers. Do you know that just with that brief discussion, first of all, the first page there was like 12, and then it says it's page 1 of 43. So I'm starting to think, why would there be that much selection? I wanted the second one. I didn't even bother going to third, fourth page. There were just so many times, there are so many options in this world that we decide, what exactly do I want? Now, sometimes in order for us to help make decisions when there's so many options, there is new technology that makes things easier. My wife works, she used to work Uptown Dallas, and now she works Dallas North Tollway in 635, so she has a little bit of a drive every day. So she uses an app called Waze, W-A-Z-E. How many of you have ever used it or you've heard of it, okay? So what Waze does, you put in your destination, and it continually monitors what the traffic patterns are and accidents and police cars and all that kind of problem. So it continually updates you, so it can basically update the directions to get you to your destination in the fastest possible way. Now, my wife, for the last 5 years, has been traveling every day. And my wife's, her philosophy when it comes to driving and traffic is movement is good. It doesn't have to be in the right direction, but as long as you're moving. So what Waze does, and sometimes she prompts it, it'll see that there's accidents and things ahead. So it analyzes the situation, and then it basically makes suggestions or it changes the map for her. So it's always continually looking to help make the decision. Instead of her saying, you know what, if I go, it's like spur 303 to 408, if I did that, I wonder if that would, it's telling her, no, don't go up 408 because there's an accident at this particular at this exit, go this direction. So it continually makes decisions for her. And I thought, you know, wouldn't it be kind of nice if somebody in the app world would make something that could always make our decisions for us ahead of time? That you just kind of just speak into it. Should I get the low-fat calorie plate or should I get the rib special plate? What should I do? And it tells you what you should do. And it'll come back and say, hey, fatso, get the low-cal salary plate. That's what you need to do. But I started thinking about what would it be like to have an app? And then I remembered that I had an app that did that. How many of you remember this? Have you ever seen this before? Come on, raise your hand, old schoolers, okay? If you've ever seen this, this is called the Magic 8-Ball. So the Magic 8-Ball, you shake it and you say things like, Magic 8-Ball, should I have ice cream for dessert today? And then you flip it over and it says, if I had glasses, and I can't read it, that's how long it's been, is it? No worries, say no. So I guess, no, I shouldn't. Or you begin to ask, okay, I'm single, I'm looking for a date. Should I ask out what's-her-face? Definitely not, you know. If you could have something as simple as an 8-ball, that whenever you had a question, and you could shake it, and you say, okay, I need direction on this. Well, see, I think there's parallels within this type of mentality of the Magic 8-Ball, and sometimes the reason that we approach God. Most of us in this room here today are God followers, and we want our lives and everything we do in our lives to be pleasing to God. I think that's pretty much understood. But we would just like to kind of find out what God's will is, and if we could just as easy shake an 8-Ball and say, should I take my wife out to dinner tonight? Yes, yes, Yes. Okay, so there's three yeses. So, but if we could have that kind of clarity when it came to God's will, many of us would just absolutely love that. Our life would be so much easier. But, so last week I started off with this question, simply this: does God have a game plan for my life? And when, as we're thinking about that, it boils down to this: what is God's will specifically for my life? And it might be big picture, it might be today's actions, however we look at it, we want to know exactly what God has to say to us. So we looked at the verse last week, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not into your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." Or another version says, "He will direct your paths." And we talked about how that he will direct your paths. He will make it obvious as you go through life. But in order to do that, we have to trust in God with all of our heart. Lean under understanding, which means we don't have to understand it. We don't have to have control over it. In all of our ways, acknowledge him. So we started talking about how the Bible uses this phrase, the will of God, and it uses it in three different contexts. The first context we call the providential will of God, or maybe a better understanding for you theologians would be the sovereign will of God. God and his sovereignty is what he's going to do anyway, regardless of what you and I do. The second would be the moral will of God, or God's commands, those things which he tells us in the Bible, I want you to do this, I don't want you to do that. Very, very simple. And the thirdly is the personal will of God. And we looked at all three last week. And just kind of a synopsis, we make most of our decisions based upon our perspective of how God sees the world. I wrote down in my notes, two huge factors that influence our perspective is desire and fear. Desire mostly controls us. You know, the desire is that 10 o'clock at night and you're in the mood for some Bluebell ice cream. So guess what? You get in your car, you drive to 24/7 Walmart, you pick up that gallon, and you don't need it, but that's the desire. Or maybe it's something in your life that you feel like you need to do, want to do, but there's this fear of failure, this fear of being recognized, this fear of it not working out. Usually our perspective is distorted by those two things, both desire and fear. But I want to read a verse this morning. We're not going to spend a lot of time here, but I'll have it up on the screen for you. Write it down in your Bible, put it in your notes. Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 9. God's perspective is completely different from ours. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Now, so let's just start real quick. God's perspective is completely different from the perspective you and I operate from. He sees things in a complete different realm. Now, can you imagine making your life's decision based upon always knowing God's perspective? Because of God being who he is, I get three things. God's decision, it's everything will be in proper context, which means no matter what you're trying to contemplate, you'll see how it fits in with everything else and timing and finances. So if you had God's perspective, it would be in proper context. Secondly, it'd be a balanced perspective. It would be a balance between, is this my selfish desires or am I doing this for other people? It would kind of give you that balance to make that decision easier. And probably the greatest thing from God's perspective is this predicted outcome. Because God in his omniscience, who is all-knowing and knows exactly what's going to happen throughout time, he knows what the outcome is going to be. So if you could make that type of decision and be that successful, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great to say, I'm going to venture out on this and I'm going to make this choice? Well, the good news is in many cases, you can. You can. We said this last week, that the more familiar you are with the providential or sovereign will of God, and the more obedient you are to the moral will of God and his commands, the easier it will be to discover the personal will of God for your life. So what I want to do today, and this is where I want to focus, how does God's will play into my daily decisions? My daily decisions. I'm not talking about the overarching decisions about what will I do with the rest of my life. My daily decisions. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be here most of the morning. Romans chapter number 12. Turn there in your Bibles if you would please. We're going to be in the first two verses. Then we're going to read some supporting verses as well. But Romans chapter number 12. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Magic 8 ball, will I finish in time this morning? It is certain. Okay, here we go. Here. Yeah, stupid 8 ball. Here we go. Ready? Romans chapter number 12. Verse number 1 starts off by saying, this is Paul, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. That our bodies are to be not a sacrifice that no longer exists. It's a continual sacrifice. But I want to really stick in verse number 2 today. Most of our message will be in verse number 2. It says simply this: do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve or discern what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So verse number 2 starts off, and Paul begins to admonish us to be just a little bit different. He says, don't conform to the pattern of this world. Now, I will just be up front with you. We're totally useless as Christians if we all conform to the world daily and daily, daily, daily. We look just like the rest of the world. We act just like the rest of the world. We get caught up in its schemes, its motivations, its desires. We flow along with everything else. Paul uses this particular word, transform. It's from the Greek word metamorphotho. Forget that. I spelled it wrong as well. But it's the same word as metamorphosis. That's where we get our Greek word. Metamorphothe. There we go. I said it right that time. Metamorphosis. You know what metamorphosis is? Metamorphosis is that gradual change from a state of being to a new state of being. And most of us understand how butterfly comes, and basically it's the metamorphosis stage. It's a continual, gradual change. Let me just say this up front. Most of us, when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, it was not just a wham, we're doomed, we're different. It's the growth process. Our mission statement in our church is leading people into a growing relationship. By the day that you ask Jesus Christ into your heart, we do not expect you to be a fully matured Christian. We expect for that growth process to take its time. We want to hurry it along as we can, but it sometimes can be messy. A Christian beginning to learn who he was before Christ and now who he is now. But this thought, transform it, changing, renewing your mind. It's a mind that is made new. Now, so that I can explain how renewing your mind, what that means, because that is ultimately our goal. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 21 through 23. Let me read it to you. Assuming that you have heard about him and we're taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Renewed in the spirit of your minds. I want you to think about this renewed mindset that Romans chapter number 12, verse 2 is talking about. I want you to think about it not necessarily as just this... Once you become a Christian, that you're a complicated computer, that you manage data. When somebody says something, you then look into your data bank and you think, my appropriate response would be this, and then you regurgitate it out. That's not what we're talking about. This renewed mind is more of a mindset, more of an attitude. Some would even call it a viewpoint. Our viewpoint of our mind, it continually grows from birth. You have been influenced on how you access the world, how you respond to the world. So your viewpoint continues to develop. Many of you, when you were younger, you thought you were all that in a bag of chips and you just had all the answers of the world. And then the older you get, you realize that, you know what, I'm just not as smart as I thought I was. And then the realization that, I guess my parents really are smart. You know, it's just, you begin to mature that faith. But that's your viewpoint as it continues to develop. Now, the sad thing about that, or the wrong thing about that, is basically our humanistic viewpoint, or our human viewpoint and attitude, is messed up from the beginning because we're fallen. We're sinful creatures. See, we are not naturally born to all of a sudden begin to lift up God and say, I'm going to do everything I can to worship and honor God with my life, with everything. It's not all about him. We, from the very beginning, we've talked about this. It's about me. It's about mine. Mine. That's mine. So because of that viewpoint, it's a fallen viewpoint. That's why Paul says that this mind needs to be renewed. Not just your natural mind. Not just the one you were born with. Not just the one that continued to grow. Because the world that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior does not think the same way that we do. As a matter of fact, in Romans 1:28 talks about this way of thinking, or this mindset. It says, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. Christians, can I just give you a little insight? The more ticked off you get at the world being evil is that the world doesn't know any better. You shouldn't have any higher expectations. They just don't understand. They don't see anything wrong with sin. They think that the sin is not sin. This is just, it's a mistake, or this is just my preference. The world does not see sin like we see sin after God opens our eyes to that. So the question this morning is, who initiates this renewal of the mind? Because I wish I could just say, look up here. You just need to try harder, okay? Next week we'll meet again and I'll ask you how you did. See, when we enter into that relationship with God, it becomes a works-based salvation because you're assuming that the harder that you work, the better God's going to bless. That's Satan's lie. It's nothing that you could do. It's what's been done on your behalf. Let's look at that this morning. Who initiates this renewing? Titus 3:5 says this, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. We are totally, radically dependent upon the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit is the one who illuminates things. He's the one who comforts. He's the one who instructs us. It's God's Spirit within us that says, now that you have this understanding of what God did for you and you've accepted that, this is how you learn. This is how you change. It's the Holy Spirit's work continually in us. Our efforts only follow what the Holy Spirit prompts us to do, what the Holy Spirit enables us to do. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all, with an unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. This comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. See, so this little checklist you have in your Bible of things that you would like to do better. The fruits of the Spirit, I would like to have the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit don't just happen because you try harder. I want you to hear that. It comes because the Holy Spirit directs that into your life. He begins to develop that into your life. Transformation leads to a renewed mind only through the Holy Spirit. So, Pastor Brian, how do we get the Holy Spirit to lead us in that direction? Because that's the way I want to go. Glad you asked. Verse number 2, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's the don't conform to the world, but transformed by renewing your mind. Okay, do you see that dichotomy? Do you see the separation there? Don't be like the rest of the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, so then what happens if I have a renewed mind? The very next word in the verse says, then. This happens after the renewed mind. Then you will be able to test and approve or discern what God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. That finding God's will for our life happens after our minds have been renewed and transformed by the Holy Spirit. So, okay, Pastor, so bring this around so I can actually take this and apply this to my life. Do you remember when we talked about the providential and sovereign will of God, that this is what God's going to do regardless of what you decide to do, whatever? I don't believe that this verse, in verse number 2, is talking about his pleasing and perfect will. It's talking about the sovereign will of God. And I'll tell you why, for two reasons. First of all, I'm not sure that God intends for us to know most of his sovereign will ahead of time. Most of the time, we find out his sovereign will is how things work out. And then afterwards, we look back and we say, oh, I see how God led this and God directed this. When God began to work with Abraham in the Old Testament, and the angel said, this is what's going to happen, and everything happened, I don't think he understood and said, you know what, this makes total sense for me. This is what God wants. No, he was questioning. Matter of fact, his wife laughed. She said, I'm not going to have a baby in my 90s, 80s. It's just not going to happen. So I don't believe we're talking about the sovereign will of God. And secondly, I don't believe by looking at this verse, this phrase, able to test and approve or discern, I believe that what it's saying is that we're going to hear what his will is, then we are going to hear it, and then discern and then obey it. So I believe that verse number 2 is specifically talking about the moral will of God or God's commands. So if we're wanting to find God's will for our life in our everyday life, I believe it's connected to this area. So are you with me? Let's follow this real quick. Look at verse number, well, there's 3 stages of knowing and doing the revealed will of God. 3 stages. First of all, and this is huge, immersing yourself in God's word. Immersing yourself in God's word. God's will is revealed and with final decisive authority, listen, only in the Bible. Only in the Bible. Well, I woke up the other morning and I didn't know what I was going to have for breakfast. So I opened the refrigerator door and apparently an egg had fallen out of the egg carton and it had fallen onto the shelf and it had broken. And I felt that God was speaking to me loudly that he wanted me to have scrambled eggs for breakfast. God's will is clearly shared with us through his word. If you get something at 3 o'clock in the morning and you have this dream and it says that you need to pack up and move to Albuquerque, New Mexico, I can probably tell you what you should do. Stop eating pizza at 10 o'clock at night, okay? Just stop it. You see, God's will, the way that he communicates through us, not only through his Holy Spirit, we'll talk about that, but it's through God's word. So if God's will speaks to us, or we find out what God's will as he speaks to us through God's word, this is why your pastor says, we've got to get into this. We've got to immerse ourselves in this. You see, 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, all scripture is God-breathed. That's huge. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The will of God was breathed into Scripture for you and I to read. So as we read this, we can find out what does God approve of? What does he delight in? This requires an incredible amount of time in this book. Okay, so now let's get personal, all right? If God's will is revealed to us the more we're in his book, my question is for you this morning, what are you immersed in right now in your life? What takes your time? What takes your time? What takes your energy? What takes your finances? See, you've immersed yourself into something else that I believe is probably not God's word. I read a study the other day that the average Facebook user is spending between 60 and 70 minutes a day on their phone on Facebook. That's the average. There are some people that have been clocked anywhere up to 6 and 7 hours a day that they have this little phone in front of them, making sure they don't miss out on anything else, and they're catching up all the news feed and the fake news and whatever else they're looking at, and they just can't miss it, and they got to like this, and they got to respond to this. And what are you immersed in right now? You're immersed in something. You're immersed in something. Something that takes your time, talent, energy. There's something in your life that way. You see, I believe that it's a little naive for us as Christians, and we'll talk about this in a second, to try to discern what God's will is when we don't even listen to him. Now, here's the pushback. Well, Pastor Brian, I've tried reading my Bible, and that is one complicated book. If this book is about God's love story, how much he loved me, why is it so thick, and why are there so many big words? I got you. But I believe as we begin to study and look into this and make this huge into our life, that is where we can begin to understand some very simple commands. Very quickly. Number 2, second stage is seeking to apply the scriptures and praying for a renewed mind. We must learn to apply biblical truth to all situations that may or may not be even addressed to the Bible. So, Pastor, who am I to marry? What car should I drive? Should I own a home or rent a home? Where do we go on vacation? Which phone plan should I buy? Should I go cable or satellite? All these questions we begin to ask ourselves, and these are areas that are not addressed specifically in Scripture. You're not going to find a verse that says AT&T U-verse. It's not in the Bible, okay? It's just not going to be there. But we would like some help in those decision-making processes. So I believe that God, throughout his word, not only addresses certain things head on, but I believe he even gives us principles which allows us to use scripture to make decisions. Principles are simply unchangeable truth. The law of gravity is a principle. The law of gravity, whether or not you don't know about it, you don't know how it works, or if today you say, you know what, I'm not even going to believe in the law of gravity anymore. Guess what? It's still in full effect. It doesn't matter if you believe or know how it works. If you sit down, you will fall on your rumpus, okay? It's just going to happen, all right? There's principles in God's word that are similar to that. Let me give you a couple. The first of all is the principle of sowing and reaping. Galatians 6, 7, 8 says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. He harvests what he plants." And we could probably jump into about a five-minute message about how many times our life we're reaping what we've sown. You know, you can't expect to have immoral thoughts and have a good life, good thought process. It just doesn't work out that way. The second, another principle is bad company corrupts good character. Comes from a verse, 1 Corinthians 15:33. It says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." It's as simple as that can be. In Proverbs 13:20, we read the same principle. "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." That's why your parents wanted you to hang around with a good crowd in high school. You remember that? Because we understand that this principle, whether or not you're even a Bible believer, it has precedence because there's truth to it. One of my favorites found in Ephesians chapter number 5 is this question: what's the wise thing to do? Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 says, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." See, so many times we ask the question, is it right or wrong? And that's the way our world is. But here's another question I'd like to introduce you to. Is it the wise thing to do? Is it the wise thing to do? You know, people have talked with me a little bit about, well, Pastor Brian, there's things that I'm dealing with in my life. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about drinking? Your pastor, I don't drink alcohol, and I'll tell you why I don't drink alcohol. I don't drink alcohol because I already have a food addiction, and I don't need another addiction. That's my problem. I've just decided that's not what I'm going to do. And we can get on that conversation some other day about drinking versus drunkenness, but it's not the wise thing for me to do. Whenever we've gone to our staff and we've traveled to somewhere else across town, I normally make sure that I'm not alone with just me and a secretary or me and another church member by ourselves. I make sure either my wife's there or we have a group. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just not the wise thing to do for me. That's the decision I made. There's other principles in the New Testament that are implied: the principle of unconditional love. As God loves us, we're to love others. Principle of unconditional forgiveness. But those are principles that we can apply to Scripture to maybe areas that aren't specifically addressed in God's word. Thirdly and lastly, having your unconscious life transformed. Having your unconscious life transformed. You see, I believe that 90 to 95% of your behavior every day is not premeditated. Spontaneous. When you walked into this building, you walked up to the front door, and if there wasn't somebody to greet the door, you said, am I going to use my right hand or left hand as I grab the door and I open it? Am I going to let my friend first, or am I going to walk through? Am I going to all of a sudden walk up and grab some coffee and those wonderful anniversary donuts, or should I just go back in the auditorium because I'm trying to watch my weight and I can't believe the pastor would tempt me with donuts and I'm on my diet and he just must not love me? And you're not thinking that. You're not premeditating that. You did not wake up this morning thinking, God, should I have a donut this morning or not? You're not thinking that far. Almost all of our actions during the day are spontaneous. So, because we don't make every decision by meditating on it and comparing it to God's will and praying and seeking, God, what is your will for my life? I believe this is where the truly renewed mind comes into play. This is where I think a renewed mind is how we make these decisions. You see, I have a quote here from John Piper. It says, "We must have a renewed mind that is so shaped and governed by the revealed will of God in the Bible that we see and assess all relevant factors with the mind of Christ and discern what God is calling us to do." It's this mindset that you already in your mind have been studying. You've been praying about things that it's just this viewpoint of how you make good decisions. Throughout the day, God commands us, he tells us things like, don't be angry, don't be prideful, don't covet, don't be anxious, don't be jealous, don't envy. But none of those feelings or emotions are premeditated. Those things happen spontaneous. So if it spontaneously happens in your life, anger, pride, covetousness, anxiety, those things come into your life, now listen, because they rise out of your heart. They rise out of your mindset. You're disposed to those areas because it's been a part of your life. It's been the way you brought up. It's been the way you've been programmed, for lack of better words. Luke 6:45 says simply this, that your daily decisions will spill over from what's inside. A good man brings good things out of good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So I want you to picture this. I want to use this eight ball as an illustration again, okay? So all of a sudden, we have two options. The first option is that we continue to conform to the patterns of this world and we fit in. We look just like everybody else. We think just like everybody else. Everything from entertainment to, seeking bigger, better, greed, selfishness, it's all about me. We allow our mind to be filled with ideas and reactions that are out of God's wills that we see maybe on movie theaters or we read in books and we think that that's the natural response of the world. We continue to conform ourselves to the pattern of this world, which means our mind will not be renewed. There will not be this understanding as God works in our life that helps us make this decision. So then what we do at that point, because there's no renewed mind to make a decision with, we say, okay, I guess I need to stop, go to God. God, what do I do in this area? I don't like that answer. I don't like that answer either. We continue to petition God time and time again, hoping for this supernatural reaction that he'll lead us into a good answer that'll match up, that'll make everybody happy. That might work. But that's not what Paul says here in Romans. What he says will happen is that, first of all, we change our mindset from being conformed to the mindset of this world. Can I put it in this kind of terms? Have you ever been around somebody that had a different mindset than you? Let's get personal. Have you ever been around somebody that had a dirty mind like a seventh grade boy? Everything you said, they came out with this little comment and and snickered. You know, the other day I said something, it's kind of a running joke, it goes back way back, and I said, and you know what they need to do, so if they do, they do. I said like the word do twice, and somebody in the room said, you said do. You know what I'm talking about? Do you have people like that in your life? That mindset basically says because of their immaturity, they can't even carry on a conversation with you. Why? Because it's just a little bit different. But when you realize how important it is to have this mindset, this renewed mind that comes only from the Holy Spirit dealing with your life by using Scripture to form that, at that point, you still will seek God in prayer, but God is already, through the Holy Spirit, pouring into your life these spiritual principles that you'll be able to apply them, reaping, sowing. Yes, God, I know it's pretty clear that if I do this, that'll come back and get me, so I can't do that, or that's not the wise thing to do, or whatever that principle is. But it must take place long before just a magic eight ball. It's a daily renewed mind that comes from the Holy Spirit working into your life through this book. Thank you for being here on a Sunday morning. But I can only help you this much. Well, God's will and him speaking to you is in this book. My job is to make God's will and his commands come out of this book so maybe you can understand a little bit easier. But my objective is not for you to listen more and more to me. It's for you to listen some to me and open this up in your life. So my question is this morning, Do you have the desire to learn what God's will for your life is? Because I believe, very simply, he might be able to show you things out of his word through the Holy Spirit that will allow this renewed mind process begin. And it doesn't just happen like that. Sometimes you wrestle with God a little bit. God, I don't understand this. God, speak to me. This doesn't make sense. My emotions tell me. Well, you sit there and you wrestle. So what do we do on our part? First of all, we ask the Holy Spirit to transform our mind into a renewed mind. God, this process does not happen naturally. God, if I'm going to have a renewed mind, it's not going to be from what I do. It's from what you do through me. It's what you help me do. Secondly, not conforming to this world. Do you realize one of the greatest things about a church congregation is the element of accountability that we have with each other to encourage us? When we have a bad day, somebody says, you know, get your chin up. Things will be better. When you're struggling with some sin and you have a very loving brother or sister, say, you know what? I know that you think you're doing right, but that's just not the wise decision, and I think it's going to hurt you. That's how important it is for us. We need to choose friends who also desire to follow God. Next week, we're going to talk about godly counsel next week. But can I beg you for something? Can I beg you to allow people into your life somehow? We provide an opportunity here to our church called Life Groups. And what are Life Groups? Our Life Groups are like-minded individuals who meet weekly throughout the week in groups so that they can interact and connect. And that is where fulfillment comes from, when you connect with the body of Christ. I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm glad you know your pastor's name. I hope I know all your names and your kids' names as well. But the connection we have with the body of Christ is not just the bald preacher. It's the body of Christ. It's the local church. I want you to become a part of that. Thirdly, I want you to immerse yourself in God's word. Immerse yourself in God's word. You see, if God's game plan for your life is based upon his playbook, how well do you know the playbook? How well do you know the playbook? How much time do you spend in the playbook? My parents and my wife's parents, they have the daily bread. They open every day and they read the verse or two or whatever the portion of scripture. That's a great start. But for a new Christian, that's a start. We have got to immerse ourselves in God's word. We have to make it a habit. Maybe to find a way to consistently read God's word. Don't read it as you're laying in bed, ready to go to bed. Get up first thing in the morning. Maybe listen to it while you're driving. We have some reading plans back in the back that'll get you kind of established in a habit. They say if you do something 31 days in a row, it's a habit. Start there, submersing yourself and immersing yourself in God's word. Make it a habit, and before you know it, you'll be familiar with it. So as we're dismissed this morning, I want you this morning to take an assessment of where you are as looking at God's will in this transformation process to a renewed mind. Is it something you're actively working on? Is it something you're allowing God to work in your life? Are you facilitating? Do you know where your Bible even is? Have you opened the Bible app? Are you trying to get God's word into your life? You see, I believe the first step is salvation, that we can't learn God's will until we're actually one of his kids, until we actually accept his blood sacrifice that was on his son given for us. That's the first step to finding God's will. Maybe you're here this morning and you have questions about your salvation. Either way, my challenge today is for you to take evaluation of yourself, to find what God's will for your life is. And it doesn't just start by praying, God, what is your will for my life? That's good. But this transformation into a renewed mind is how the Holy Spirit facilitates us and helps us grow, that these daily decisions are much easier and we have greater success. So have you taken these steps? Are you actively involved in taking these steps? Bow our heads for a word of prayer.